And now, live from the studios of Freedom's Phoenix, Ernest Hancock.
Believe me when I say we have a difficult time ahead of us. But if we are to be prepared for it, we must first shed our fear of it. I stand here without fear because I remember. I remember that I am here not because of the path that lies before me, but because of the path that lies behind me. I remember that for 100 years we have fought these machines. And after a century of war, I remember that which matters most. We are still here! Today, let us make them remember. We are not afraid!
James Bovard. James Bovard is the author of 10 books, including Public Policy, Hooligan, Attention Deficit Democracy, The Bush Betrayal, and Lost Rights, The Destruction of American Liberty, and on and on and on. He's written for New York Times, Wall Street Journal, Playboy, Washington Post, New Republic, Reader's Digest, on and on and on. You get it. He's the man. All right. We're talking to Mr. James Bovard, and we need to talk to Mr. James Bovard when we want to talk about some politics in the election cycle of, and I'm going, okay. So his most recent is Obama's Hillary Tub Thumping. All right, James, what the hell does that mean?
Well, I was just having some fun watching that Obama speech last night. I mean, I was surprised that they didn't put him on until about 11 o'clock, but then I watched a few minutes of his speech and I said, no wonder he got a crap speaking slot. He's just saying the same things he's always said, except that he was stressing that Hillary's a grandmother, so that's a reason to vote for her.
Oh, she is? I didn't know Chelsea had a baby.
Yeah, I think she's had one or two, so, you know, I haven't kept track. I mean, it's not something which I've got posted on my office wall here.
You know, that's scary, man. Can you imagine Hillary Clinton as your grandmother? That would be...
Oh, it would be chilling. It'd be like, all right, get an order. What do you mean he's not...
Where are their children? I want to babysit the children. It takes my village to beat the crap out of your children. You know, so I'm all right. Well, the so Obama spoke last night. You mean Barack Obama?
So you didn't stay up late watching it, but I guess it's not late in Arizona.
Hell no. You watched it so I didn't have to. Why do you think I'm having you on, man?
Oh, all right. Well, you know, that's a good way to avoid pain.
That's that, you know, and Charles and I, you know, are doing his shows, producing and everything. We drew straws to see who watched. And you lose, you got to watch and record. So I'm like, ugh. But the, Trump, we'll talk about him in a little bit. But, Barack Obama, he went up there and did his teleprompter, whatever the heck. And how long was it?
Oh, God, it seemed like about 6 hours, like a Castro speech, but I think it was only about 45 or 50 minutes. Maybe it wasn't quite long. It was tedious. It was just kind of, it was basically, you know, talking about all the wonderful things that he had done, and then, oh, and Hillary's going to be even better. It was kind of funny, last night when Hillary, when Bill Clinton spoke, there was a theme, and they passed out all these signs to the audience members, to hold up the sign saying change maker. And that was Bill Clinton's theme, that Hillary's going to be a wonderful change maker. And it's kind of funny because up until about a month ago, the Hillary campaign was stressing that she had a steady hand and she was going to, you know, that she was, very steady and sure and all this stuff. And all of a sudden, the Hillary people have decided, well, it's important to have change. I mean, it's kind of funny because you got Obama up there, you know, touting Hillary. It's like, who's she going to change from, you know? It's sort of like it's almost like the Hillary campaign has recognized that a lot of Obama's policies are profoundly unpopular with the American people, and so they have to change it. There were some interesting lines last night. One late in the speech, President Obama was saying, "We don't look to be ruled." I mean, like basically saying that Americans don't want a heavy-handed government. So I was waiting for him to follow that up and say that he was canceling every decree he's issued since 2009, but he didn't. There was another thing which he wrapped up on.
Wait, are you serious? You thought he was going to, you know what, I changed my mind?
Well, for sure. I mean, he said we don't look to be ruled. So I was like, well, okay, well, good. I mean, so you're going to cancel all these executive orders and the secret spying and...
Okay, wait. He actually said that?
He said we don't look to be ruled. He was basically making an attack on Trump, saying...
we don't want to be ruled by him.
Right.
Yeah.
But, wow. I mean, it was like the audience was so, yes, master. It's like, what the heck has this dude been doing? There was another line, something which President Obama promised that, quote, President Obama promised that, quote, homegrown demagogues, end quote, will fail in the end. And so I was thinking, well, he's got six more months, right?
You know, I am looking at, when they say stuff like that, it's like this Freudian thing or something. They don't, you know, they're afraid of the very thing they're guilty of, the very thing they say they're afraid of or something, you know?
I don't know if it's a Freudian thing. These are folks who are just used to telling so many lies and having so many people grovel at their feet, and that they have utterly lost their own bullshit radar.
Right. Lost their own BS rate. So at the end of the evening, did you watch the whole evening?
Oh, hell no. I mean, I'm not that masochistic. I don't have that much penance to do. I was figuring, okay, I should watch the Obama speech and, part of what I did to make it interesting was, you know, shoot out various Twitter comments throughout, and a lot of nice people responded to the Twitter comments or reposted them, and so it was fun to get the active exchange and the humor going with folks on Twitter and also on Facebook. A lot of good folks on Facebook, but it's just fascinating to see the mindset. And President Obama was there talking about the gun lobby, and the gun lobby is so terrible it doesn't show up at funerals. So I'm thinking, well, and how, you know, this is at the same time the feds are still covering up plenty of their own killings and also trying to put a lid on some of the killings by local police, like in Waco, that shootout with the motorcycle gangs. We still don't know what happened down in Orlando, and the FBI came in and basically tried to put a total freeze in all the information disclosures there, with a big shootout at the gay disco club.
Yeah, they're going to wait till after the election or right before the election or when they start early vote. I mean, it's all manipulation. You know, it's just, it's like all the things that we would make fun of in third world countries. And we're a third world country with a shiny tie. I mean,
that's a good phrase.
Yeah, I've been using that for a decade. We're just a banana republic with a shiny tie, man. Our lobbyists, you know, dress nicer or not as hot, and we don't have that, you know, short sleeve white shirt with the vertical designs of open collar kind of thing. We put a tie on and do the same crap.
Yeah, there's a lot of that. I mean, it was interesting how they're the same. So many weary platitudes. Something that Bill Clinton was saying in his final year in office was that he was more optimistic, or he was more idealistic than ever before. Last night, Obama was stressing, I'm more optimistic than ever before. And my attitude was, yeah, well, you've had all this power. No wonder you're having a good time. Maybe he's also expecting some of those $250,000 speaking fees that Hillary's been pocketing.
He's going to stay in Washington, D.C., where it's nice and, you know, lucrative.
Well, I don't think he's going to have to go on food stamps. You know, it was interesting, the Democratic motif last night, because there were just these endless, this group and that group and this ethnic group and this minority and this suffering group of suffering souls. But I was deeply hurt that Obama never specifically mentioned or reached out to rednecks.
Oh, NASCAR doesn't get any love from the Democratic Party, huh?
Absolutely not.
Well, let me tell you a little secret here. I don't know if you know this. It is now announced that Bernie Sanders has left the Democratic Party and went independent again.
Well, this is certainly a shock. I mean, There were some good demonstrations last night, some hell-raising there during Obama's speech.
All right, when we come back, the demonstrations.
This is Donna Hancock with Silver Alliance Realty in Phoenix, Arizona, and I specialize in helping you find the real estate that fits your needs. Whether you are looking to purchase a home or a piece of land, whether it's in town or a rural setting, I can help you find exactly what you are looking for. Most of us are aware of the turbulent times ahead and will need to settle in a place that will suit our particular desires, not only to protect our families, but to thrive in the coming downturn of the economy. Unfortunately, that time is not in the future, but it is upon us, and if you are going to get ahead of the game, now is the time to prepare. Qualifying options for new loans are narrowing, the dollars being devalued every day, and living expenses are on the rise. So I have created a useful tool on my webpage at DonnaHancock.com that will allow you to search for properties at your leisure that are of interest to you. Simply click on the Search MLS tab at the top of my webpage to begin your search today. Start preparing for your future, and when you are ready to move forward with your home or land buying purchase, we can work together to get you and your family ready to flourish. Feel free to call or text me at 602-828-1819. That's 602-828-1819, and let's get started today.
I had to do some stuff. When we come back in about 30 seconds, can we, you got enough news on the demonstrations and stuff and who and those factions of whatever?
Not really. It's just a story I saw on USA Today, but it sounded like a couple hundred people were assaulting the big fence outside the DNC.
All right. Well, we'll talk about it when we come back, but I wanted to get kind of, you know, the Bernie guys, what they're thinking, doing, and him leaving again, whatever. I don't know what the deal was he made with Hillary. All right, well, here we go.
To be a part of the show, call 602-264-2800. 602-264-2800. And now, Ernest Hancock.
At the Democratic Party convention, or you can only do it remotely. Now, he's in Washington. You know, James, you're in Washington, D.C., right?
I'm outside of Washington, yeah.
Why do you keep saying that? I go to Washington, and I'm at your place. I see the Washington Monument. That's freaking Washington, D.C. Get over
it. Well, it's like 8 or 10 miles away, and you got this top floor of a hotel where you got a view that's a heck of a lot better than mine. Heck, I mean, I look out the window, I see a parking lot.
You know, I'm just like, you're too close to be saying you're not. Are you that ashamed, really?
Hey, I'm outside the Beltway, okay?
No, barely.
Well,
I mean, does the train, the little subway thing that goes into D.C. stop by you?
The little subway thing, is that your term for it?
Yeah, whatever it is, a train. You know?
Well, it's the source of all the smoke and fires and shutdowns and... it goes pretty close to
Freaking DC. Get over it, man.
Hey, but I was raised in the mountains of Virginia, okay, and I was born in Iowa.
All right. Well, let's just lie.
So I have the Midwest pedigree, so I can talk about farm subsidies.
Okay, now I want to get a beat on this. This, you know, the Bernie people, they're crying, man. They were like, it was, you know, somebody took their lollipop away. And it was, so I'm wondering how they viewed this Bernie endorsing Hillary, I'm never going to give up. And then he gets up, I saw a clip where he's, now this is the real world. Yeah, all that campaign and lofty dreams I was talking about, that was all BS. We got to tell you about the real world. And him saying that was just a slap in the face of all these guys. Oh, okay, it's a real world, even you real world? Fine. Sanders, who considers himself officially an independent in Congress because his views lean further left than the Democratic Party's platform, caucuses with Democrats. But until declaring an intention to run for the presidency in 15, he had rarely, if ever, identified as a member of the Democratic Party. He's been in politics since 79. Now, despite pleading with his base to support Hillary, even though they're concerned that she's too moderate, Sanders will return to Vermont and to his seat in the Senate, and he'll do it with no official party affiliation. So I'm going, okay, so Bernie's like, I'm independent, I'm communist. And I'm just wondering, at the convention, what was the effort for him to get? They had to make some kind of peace with Bernie for him to do Hillary. He got something. I mean, what?
I don't know. I don't have any inside scoops on that. I assume that I'm assuming that since Bernie has switched and put his shoulder behind Hillary, that he's going to personally give refunds to all of his donors.
Right.
Who thought he would not be doing that? It's interesting to see the twists and turns. It was nice. Leon Panetta was given a speech yesterday at the convention, and he was basically hooted down by the anti-war folks in the audience. No more war or something like that they were chanting, and it was a huge slap in the face. There was a lot of dissonance from the audience on Monday, shortly after the wonderful WikiLeaks disclosures. USA Today story this morning talks about headline is that as Obama speaks, chaos and arrest outside DNC. There's a very nice little video on that. You just search that title and you'll find it. It was at USA Today website. There was a bunch of protesters stormed the security fence right about the time that Obama was getting ready to start speaking. There was not a lot of violence, maybe not much violence at all, except for attacking the fence. But, it was funny to see folks were fed up. Folks were fed up. They've been, they put their shoulders behind the Sanders campaign and other efforts and the DNC emails and all the shenanigans. So it's the same as ever. Nothing's changed.
Yeah, I pulled up the, it says, as Obama speaks, chaos and arrest outside DNC. Now, of course, they... it's all staged, and they made sure it's at that time, and you're getting some press, and it cuts into his press, and they're pressed. But I'm going, what was the chaos about? We're not communist enough. We need more free college or something. I mean, what is it that they're asking for?
I don't know exactly, but there were lots of folks who had the mask from V for Vendetta, so I give him a bonus point on that one. So.
Yeah, an anonymous thing or something. Well, yeah. This DNC, WikiLeaks did this. I mean, the whole thing is, well, it doesn't matter because Putin did it. The Russians did it. So it's not like anything that they do, it doesn't count because the Russians took it, the information.
Well,
and gave it to WikiLeaks, whether they did or not. I mean, they're just trying to throw that smokescreen up.
Well, I mean, this is the same thing that we heard in 1993 after the FBI launched a tank assault on the Branch Davidians' home. It caught fire. 80 people died. And people were saying, well, it didn't matter because David Koresh abused babies. And we don't know the source of this stuff, but there is stuff in these DNC emails very explicitly, talking about pay to play as far as getting campaign donations and giving people federal jobs or federal appointments. It's like, so this is a smoking gun crime. It's like, this is the same thing that the governor of Illinois got sent to prison for. So I'm just kind of, I'm looking forward to the next WikiLeaks disclosure because they've had a huge positive effect so far. It's waking up some people, and part of what the Democrats were trying to do was shine up the government, shine up the whole idea of government, and it's going to make us free, and it's your government, and that was one of Obama's themes last night. Well, we have a democracy, and people. I mean, don't give me this crap. He's been lying forever. The speech he did a few weeks ago at one of the funerals for the policeman killed, I think, in Dallas, in which he was, which Obama said that in inner cities it's easier for kids to get Glocks than to get books. I mean, it's like here's a man who's not checked the price of Glocks recently.
Yeah.
But it's such a brazen lie, and he's telling that in a funeral for policemen who were gunned down. It's like they don't even try to tell the truth.
I'm wondering what the truth is about the protest and what the reasons are. I can't get a clear view on who's protesting whom for what. So the Bernie Sanders guys, they were really just like Never Trump effort. They were trying to still get Bernie in, and he pulled from nomination, acclamation of Hillary to stop the whatever. And I'm just wondering, who was he representing and for what? And what was he thought he'd get out of it? Is it something that was added to the platform? So I don't really understand. But the crowds that were out there, they were protesting. It wasn't like Trump supporters. It was, you're not communist enough. I don't understand who was protesting.
There were a bunch of different groups protesting, and there were a lot of contradictions between the different groups. But I think there was a bona fide sense among at least some of the Sanders supporters. Hillary is a warmonger. She's got a lot of blood on her hands, and she'll cause a lot more wars.
Yeah, more war with the Democrat war. It was Leon Panetta that was in Great Britain on the BBC saying we're going to have Durka Durka Jihad Crusade of get the next generation ready. Mox News put it up. YouTube took down 65,000 videos of his because of that.
Wow.
Hi, I'm Rob Mathias, host of the Rebel Love Show.
And I... Yeah, ooh, Rebel Love Show, man. Like, damn.
That's some zesty advertising.
Yeah, that's some porn listening. Yeah, Donna doesn't like it.
Okay.
Can't believe that's on. Anyways, but the what we'll go ahead and do is when we come back, I want to get your view of the Republican National Convention too. And what happened with that. But it was. You know, he made an ode to the old kind of, you got Mitch McConnell and Cruz and Gingrich, all these guys up there just, you know, showing why they weren't picked. But the then you get into the last night and it's all Trump and Trump and I got some Trump. And then you're getting into the Hillary thing and so on. And now I'm looking at, all right, the real battle starts. But there's so much ammunition against both of them. And it's like, which one has the most warts? And I'm going, damn, they're so covered, both of them, you can't count. I mean, it's not like you can, I don't know. I mean, Trump seems more of the peace guy. And that's, it's got Walter Block and, Libertarians for Trump. And now he's, Professors for Trump or something. He's doubling down,
Okay.
So did you see that?
Yeah, I've seen some of his stuff on that. There are some folks who I respect a lot who say that Trump would be a real change in foreign policy, and that might be true. I mean, that's part of the reason that I'm thinking that Hillary's a bigger risk at this point.
So. Oh, yeah. No. I can't imagine her being – that's just damn. But I don't trust the system.
I don't trust it. And it's interesting that you might be in the same situation that I am. People have been telling me for 20 years, condemning my work because I'm so freaking cynical – cynical about the democratic system. Is like, okay, Hillary versus Trump. How much lower can we go? Okay, so we don't have David Duke versus some out and out communist, but it's like, this is where this system seems to be bounding down towards.
Yeah, you may choose from candidate communist A or fascist candidate B.
Yeah, and
you're free.
Yeah, and I would not say that Hillary's a communist, and I would not say that Trump's a fascist. But if you see where the tendency is going and how the mental caliber of the entire system has gotten falling lower and lower, and just to seeing the kind of points they're using to sell Hillary, it's like, oh, my God, these people think that voters are really stupid, and they might be right.
Well, I'm looking at Trump and everything he says is kind of code talk for, yeah, it's going to kick ass, and we're going to, yeah, but we might not, bomb Putin, we might do a trade deal with him. Or, yeah, all these trade deals that we got and the TPP and the NAFTA and this and that, and kind of, we're going to renegotiate in America. America first, America. We're not going to let them close their
factories
and so on. But I'm looking at, I'm going, does he really, what's he going to do? Is he going to use coercion? Or is he going to negotiate a tax thing? Is he going to play businessman and do, yeah, we can make it to where you ask. Yeah, we saved him. You see my point? I'm wondering, because I had Roger Stone on a couple of times, and he's just, he's libertarian. I didn't know he's decades libertarian. And he says he's got Trump kind of backing off on this drug war thing. So I consider Trump intelligent, and I don't know how smart Hillary is.
It's funny how you say that with a very qualified voice.
Well, he's intelligent, but that doesn't mean anything. Hell, Hillary's probably intelligent. That's scary, So
I think that she was. I don't know if she still is.
Nah, it's starting to wane. All right, here we go.
Rhodes? It's the Ernest Hancock Show. Where we're going, there aren't any roads.
It ain't so groovy when you're screaming in the night. Let me out of this cheap B-movie.
Bitch, whine, moan, complain, along with my bud James Bovard, because he's a fellow complainer about an observation of, and your whole thing. I want to talk about the Republican convention. You know, now that it's over and done, they went through the whole thing. The only thing that I really remember, and I think was unfortunate, is how his wife was. What's her name? Marana? Mayana? How do you say Trump's wife's name?
Mrs.
Yeah, there you go. So Mrs. Trump, you know, she gets up and she kind of, you know, there was some plagiarized lines out of Michelle thing, and how that happened, whatever, and don't care. But, you know, I just thought that was unfortunate for her. I don't think she, you know, whatever. But if somebody, I don't think they, you think they did it on purpose to kind of, you know, slap
no,
her? Or?
No. Who knows? I mean, you know, folks in... people underestimate how utter weaselly the people that get involved in politics are. And there's just a lot of devious human beings who would do anything to get power or to screw people who they don't like. I'm not saying I think it was purposeful. I mean, it was, you know, there's a lot of boneheads around as well. So, but, it was a screw up, but I mean, it wasn't, it's interesting how I think that the news media wanted to focus a lot more on that than they have focused. I wanted to focus on WikiLeaks and the DNC emails.
Yeah.
I can understand why folks...
that was low-hanging fruit, man. That was an easy one.
Yeah. Well, and it was very simple because you don't have to understand policy.
Right.
And
doesn't matter what they said.
Right. And that's something which a lot of pundits like because they can... sit there and pontificate and get on their high horse.
And we can stop right now because we don't want to go down that road.
Yeah.
What about the VP guy, Penn? What do you know about him, Pence?
The most important thing about him is that he's not Newt Gingrich.
Yeah. Mitch McConnell I saw up there doing, I didn't even watch it, but I saw they had, what the hell? And then Cruz's weird thing. And then find out that Cruz had met with Obama and Pelosi and flew on Air Force One to go to the Dallas officer funeral thing right before the RNC. Then he gets up and vote your conscience, whatever the hell that means. And I know he'd rather have Hillary in there and him run, you know, as the evangelical right winger for 2020 or something.
Yeah, I mean, he's someone who's just who's too slippery for his own good. I mean, I think he thinks he's three times smarter than everybody else, but as he's showing the campaign, he screwed up a lot.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, go ahead.
Well, no, I mean, the Cruz thing, why do you... You know, Trump, I think he's smarter than, you know, a lot of people give him credit. And he knew that he was going to do something stupid like this. So he goes, go ahead, see how this works out. You know, give him enough rope to hang himself. And it seems like, Trump came out ahead with Cruz being up there being stupid. I'm not sure who benefited from that.
I don't know. I mean, you know, there were a lot of elements that are just utterly weird about that, that whole convention. I didn't follow it closely, but from some of the stuff I saw, I saw Trump's speech, and it was kind of lots was just, oh my God, you know, okay, you know, can we tone this down a bit? It's just, and there were lots of lines in there. They're just utterly mortifying. For instance, I'm totally anti-torture. I've been free trade forever. I want government on a leash, and that didn't seem to figure very prominently in Trump's agenda, but. You know, there is nobody good who has a chance to win, and that's the unfortunate thing. Something which I'd be interested to hear, Ernie, is your thoughts about Gary Johnson.
You remember in The Fountainhead where the editor guy goes to the hero and he says, now that you know I'm the one that destroyed you, you know, what do you think of me? And he goes, well, I don't think of you.
Okay.
You know,
so you don't think about Gary Johnson?
No, I mean, I like Gary, and I was at the national convention, and we talked, and he's encouraging. He wants to come on the show. We've had him on the show quite a bit and so on. And I told him, I said, yeah, we can do it. I tell you, Gary, I can't do anything with this Bill Weld thing. You know, it kind of stopped. I mean, what am I going to do? You know, it's just two Republicans running as libertarians, and they're not really going hardcore enough of anything. And I just can't get all worked up. Now, here in Arizona, we have some candidates, and they have a big write-in thing that get us qualified for the ballot because they did a law change, and the Rove people made it like 3,000% increase in signature requirements for libertarians here because we're mucking up their thing and so on. So a lot of people, you know, have run as write-in, and then you have the Democrats, and they're cadre of independent, expect somebody, whatever, is going to spend... They've already spent $65,000, and they are spending lots of money in mailings and so on to make sure that the libertarians get on the ballot so that they can be part of the general. Well, of course, the Republicans are all about keeping them off. The Democrats are all about putting them on. The libertarians are like, we're going to yell at both of you, so I don't care, you know. So it's this game, and it's all about who gets to exercise their right to express themselves, who gets to have an opinion, who gets to participate. We are going down the dark side, and what in the next phase that you'll see is like what happens in Mexico and a lot of these Central American countries. When somebody becomes influential, you got like a Bernie Sanders, you know, or the libertarian ticket starts to take off, they just shoot people. And I'm going, this is not good. So we have to extricate ourselves from, you know, the thought that voting's somehow going to make us free or something. And I'm just more about public opinion. So I'll use the election process, you know, to have some fun and have you on. We talk about public opinion and where it's going. But the economy is going to rear its head in this thing worldwide. What do you know about that? You feared something's happening?
I think there's a lot of nasty stuff bubbling underneath the surface, whether or not it's going to, suddenly explode and throw things into chaos again. I don't know. I mean, if I did, I would not be living in this neighborhood.
Right.
I don't know. I'm very wary. I think the Federal Reserve with its perpetual low interest rates and its easy money have created so many, so much maladjustment at some point. It's not going to be able to postpone the consequences, and then there'll be a lot of things crashing and burning.
Yeah, and we have this going our fifth year of Freedom Festival up in the mountains in forest lands called the Jackalope Freedom Festival. And a bunch of people from around the country, I mean, it'll be hundreds of people there. This is the fifth one, which means V, which means the Jackalope rabbit's got to wear a Guy Fawkes mask. So so we're going to have some fun with this, but I tell you what's evolved. And we got some, you know, cash and other prizes and so on we're giving out for who's going to wow me with their campsite. Because I'm going, ooh, I wouldn't mind living in that for a couple of months or something, you know. So that's, we're kind of encouraging that. We started mass production of geodesic domes. We got a stamp press with the dies to make, and we've been out there playing with that for the last week. And we're just, so the mindset is, I don't have to beat these guys, you know, all this they want to rule me thing. I just want to survive them. They're going to fall of their own weight. This whole economic thing is going to be the, you know, but how fast will it go? Will they clear the decks? Will they go away? Will the people just ignore them? Are they going to be, or is it going to be a civil war with Terminator robots kicking the crap out of me while the iris scan my children? You know, so these are possible futures, and I'm just wondering from your perspective, as you write all these books and you've been warning that this stuff was coming, where do you think it's going to go? How are the people going to react to that?
I don't know how it's going to play out. I mean, but there is going to be some harsh downturns. I don't know how far they'll fall, when it'll happen. But there's so much BS that's been built into the system, both the political system and the economic system, and it's not possible to postpone the consequences forever.
You know how I know that there's gold and silver and precious metal manipulation? You know how I know, other than they turned it all into paper? But you know how I know? Is they're starting to want to know where it's all at, and they want to come at it. And you need to give it in, turn it in, and you're kind of 1933 stuff building up all over again. Oh, we need your gold. Okay, what about South China Sea and Syria and Russia and war?
Well, I don't know shit about the South China Sea. I can make a few comments on Syria. I mean, a few on Russia, but I'm pretty damn superficial on that. So
It seems to me like the Democrats are, you know, they talk about, oh, they're anti-war and all this kind of stuff. I'm getting the impression that, man, you want to go kick some ass, vote for Hillary.
Well, very much. I mean, this is a message that she's sending, and there was, I didn't see it live, but for the Leon Panetta thing yesterday with the protests, what the other Democrats there in the convention did was respond by chanting USA, USA. So it's like, so what is this, the George Bush convention in 2004 in New York City? No, it's just, it's sad that so little it seems to have been learned by the people who are politically active. Or they've just decided to sell their soul for, you know, someone who's going to sow carnage around the world.
Or they're just bust in.
Or what?
They're just bust in. I saw
bust in. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, yeah. No, that was what happened with Gary and Weld. You know, it was all, I was there. I mean, it was, yeah, there was like, you know, at least 300, 400 of, you know, Gary Johnson crowd of, we're making sure, you know, so this is how you knew. It's Memorial Weekend. And somebody gets up and they go, hey, man, you libertarians, let me tell you how to win. You guys aren't winning. You know why you're not winning? It's because there's not a gold fringe flag up there. Where's the American flag? I ain't got no flag. Oh, and you're not honoring the troops enough. Where's your big giant video expose on C-SPAN of how you love troops and we need to honor the troops? Then, you know, we need a moment of silence for all those that died for it. And I go, and killed. Okay. So. Wow. Then Nick, you know, the chair goes, for all that have died in war, a minute of silence. And it was silent for a minute. And I'm just going, these people don't understand the libertarian philosophical. They're just, you know, we're not doing it right, you know.
Well, okay.
It's time for Declare Your Independence with Ernest Hancock.
You grew up tall and proud in the shadow of the mushroom cloud. Rich now voices can be heard.
And my good friend James Bovard, truth, justice, and the American way. Call Americans, MKs, MKers, man, Americans. Well, there was a bunch of Americans that went to the Libertarian National Convention in Orlando. And I tell you, it was, you know, they kind of come in, they're wanting to support Gary Johnson and Bill Weld. And you could tell they were going, hey, you know, you libertarians, let me tell you what your problem, you don't do it right. Where's your American flag? How come you don't have an American flag up there? Where's your American flag? And we're all going, God, man, you know, these guys, they're thinking collectively. Well, we're going, yeah, that's not a thing with us. I mean, it's just, you know, that's not a thing. Well, it's Memorial Weekend. How come you're not supporting the troops that, you know, died? And I'm like, and killed, you know? So we have a minute of silence for all that die in war. Well, that wasn't good enough, man. They don't even count the enemy. That's how many of us guys died. You got 56,000 or how many it was in Vietnam, you know, compared to the millions, you know, that got bombed the crap out of. I mean, none of this stuff. Then you wonder why you got people pissed off. So I'm just going, I can't muster up a whole bunch of, you know, warm fuzzies, even though I like Gary Johnson and I'm sure he'd probably be better than I, you know, whatever, but they're kind of mamby-pambying the principles in their campaign, thinking they're going to get, you know, that's part of the deal for them to get in the polls. They get 15%. They get in the debate. Do you think there's a chance in hell of them allowing Gary Johnson to be in the presidential debates?
I think if they thought it would help Hillary Clinton, that he'd have a much better chance of getting in there. I don't know how that's going to play out.
Yeah.
It's an interesting thing. There was an interview that Weld gave to Dave Weigel of the Washington Post last month after the Orlando shooting, and he said that what the feds need to do is hire another federal agents, another 1,000 federal agents to create a task force to go after these ISIS sympathizers here in the U.S. And if memory serves, he also said that people who were ISIS sympathizers should be treated like enemy combatants. And so you've got a very low standard of evidence there, and that's far more status than anything I've heard from Gary Johnson. Weld is just far more of a some folks are equating Johnson and Weld, but I think there is a big difference. So,
well, this is what that's where their opportunity is to stand out against and logic, reason, libertarianism. I talked to Bill Weld, and his whole thing was, yeah, well, the Libertarian Party asked me to come into the Libertarian Party. I'm going to help the Libertarian Party party. And I go, these guys don't give a crap about the party. I mean, these are, you know, freedom-oriented libertarian activists that want to be left aloneism and free and kind of... Well, that's not what they told me. Who's they? The party. And I go, okay. You know? All right, well, let me know how that works out. Peace, you know. And the benefit to party, that was why they wanted him to run for New York governor to get ballot status for him. The Republicans put pressure on him, and he dropped and left the Libertarian Party hanging.
Right.
So Alicia Dern, one of the she worked as an attorney helping ballot access or whatever for Gary Johnson in 12. Well, she wanted to make sure he had a good quality, you know, at least somebody as good as her. So she went up. She ran for VP. Well, they wanted her in the after the first round went and you started dropping off. She was still one of the ones that, you know, dropped off, and they suspend the rules for them to make a speech and then kind of, well, vote for this guy if you know my supporters should, whatever. So she stands up there. I don't know if you know about this. This is awesome.
No, no.
She stands up there and she goes, well, Mr. Governor Weld, can you come up? He comes up on stands on stage, towers over her about a foot and a half, and she's there and she goes, well, I just, if you'll tell the people, you know, she's wanting to endorse him. If you'll tell the people, because of what happened in New York, that you won't stab him in the back. Just tell them you won't stab him in the back. And, you know, and then she would endorse him. Well, he goes, well, I'm a life card. I did, you know, life member of the LP. I just got my, look at my card here. I got my life member. I'm a life member. I'm life. I paid my 300 whatever. I'm life. Life member. And we go, he didn't say it. He didn't say it. So we were pounding on the table like we did in 96 for Brown not taking federal matching funds. We're just going, say it, say it, say it, say it, say it. And he wouldn't say it. He goes, I'm a card-carrying member of a lifetime of whatever. And she just standing there, you know, just exposed. All right. And she was done. And that was it. And it was so awkward. Later, Monday, when they had the LNC meeting, you know, after they elect new officers and all that kind of stuff, I was there till Tuesday, went to the LNC meeting, just sit there in the gallery. And they wanted to bring her forward. Some of the guys said, you want to know what the campaign did and the promise and the deal they made with her? Do that. She's more than willing to tell you all about it. And they go, nah. You know, we don't need to, you know, rake it up and don't care, you know. So I'm like, yeah, it's probably not. But I still would be interested in how that went. Well, Austin Peterson told me the same thing. He goes, man, you wouldn't believe what they offered. They want, and Weld won 50.6 to 49.4 or something like that. And it was just barely squeaked it by, but they got it. And that's what Gary, and that was the argument Alicia said. We want to give Gary what he wants. Who gives a crap what he wants? So I'm going, all right. So they got this Weld Johnson ticket, and I can't do a thing with it. It has nothing of all the stuff that we're about and the hardcore, or at least clear, principled, whatever. We have to pick some local issues, local something to, you know, educate people in libertarianism because they're not it.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, that's I agree. I mean, Johnson is he seemed like a nice guy. I mean, I was, it's unfortunate. He doesn't even understand the foreign policy stuff, as far as I can tell, as far as the anti-war angle. Because a lot of his comments on foreign policy have either been wishy-washy or kind of leaning the wrong way. So, I mean, that said, he's certainly not nearly as, he's far better than Trump or Clinton, but it's like, it's unfortunate that there's not more of a sense of ideas around his candidacy, because I think that's what libertarians, they need to get the ideas out there. So,
you know, the libertarian activists, the people in the party, they're broken into two categories. One, they don't care. They're, you know, they're fine where they're at. They believe in the principle they're advocating for, and they're comfortable being, you know, what they are and the black sheep of their family, community, whatever, and they're not offensive. They're not, you know, wanting to take over anything, or yay, we'll be revolutionary with guns to take over the marble monuments of now we rule you. I mean, you know, that's just not in that mindset. But then there are some that are. They want their turn at the brass ring. And for them, legitimacy comes from somebody else, some computer counting program of the ballot box percentage of something, or it's from Fox News or being in the debates, or that's going to give them legitimacy, and they crave, need that, or there's some powers that, you know, would benefit from that to give it, you know, Koch brothers wants Hillary to win or something. I mean, you never know. So I'm going, this is I'm seeing the Liberty Nexus as the election cycle for a lot of people. They come in, they meet a lot of the anarchists, and that happened at the Libertarian Convention. I could see the guys that were running as, you know, hardcore leave me aloneist anarchist guys, Daryl Perry and Bill Cawley for VP. They were well respected, always about third choice, and applause heavy, and everybody got represented up there. And Arizona, for the first time, had no NOTA votes. So I'm going, wow, at least not in the first round. So I'm going, wow, that, you know, I saw the resurrection, and a lot of the people inside the party had been kind of controlling all this compromise crap, got pushed out. So they, right at the peak, they got their Gary Weld, but the internal structure, they're losing control. And what's going to happen is in 18 in New Orleans is when the future of the Libertarian Party is going to be decided. And that, you know, whether I participate or play or not, you know, whatever. If you think voting is going to make you free, you haven't been paying attention. But it's the philosophy. They got 50-state ballot status with two Republican governors. And with freaking the other side being Hillary and Trump. I don't know how much more idyllic position you need.
Well, it was pretty idyllic in 2012 and again in 2008. So, you know, it's been a long series of two terrible choices.
Yeah, but now it's going to be in the general. You know, so it'll maybe. Do you even remember who the candidates were in 8 and 12 for Libertarians?
Bob Barr.
You know, he was the only one. We had these signs that said, we're taking a bunch of pictures. It was a thing for antiwar.com. And it said, I'm already against the next war. And I was going around the convention. Everybody, oh yeah, I'll hold that. I'm already against the next war. The only person that refused to hold it was Bob Barr.
Oh, that's a riot.
I got a witness. Boomer, one of the activists from L.A., he's standing, he goes, what was that? I'm going, yeah, baby. And I got a witness.
That's a riot.
You know, so stay there. You know, I want to talk to you for a little bit. But, you know, be available to us, would you please, as you're covering this.
Sure. Well, I'm not covering it much. I'm just kind of watching and scoffing.
Yeah, you know, that's what I need. I don't want to get too, you know, down into brain damage. You know, I don't need brain hemorrhaging. But I need James Bovard. James, B-O-V-A-R-D. There. Thanks, James.
Hey, well, thanks for having me on the show. I really appreciate that.
Yeah, I'm after the DNC, I'm going to make the rounds with the guys again, you know, after this kind of gets going. And there's, I didn't say on the live show, but I, it's a long story. They're just on my ass, but I filed as a write-in for a county recorder.
Okay.
And so they're going to work on get me on. And I'm like, hey, man, I'm not doing nothing. I got other stuff to do. So if they do it, fine. No, I don't care. But what happened is that I ran for Secretary of State twice and County Recorder once. And this is next time. Well, the County Recorder, she's not very popular. And when they did the presidential preference primary this last time, they just to screw Trump. They cut from it was like something stupid, like 400 precincts down to 90 or something like that. So you had these 7-hour lines and it's just, I mean, people were pissed off. So now this is like revenge of, but then I'm going, yeah, well, who's counting the ballots? We had to sue in 08 or 10 for them to count the write-ins that qualified a bunch of libertarians for the ballot because they just refused to do them. And we had them redo it, lost it. Then they count, okay, yeah, these two races, yeah, you're right. Well, what about all the others? Well, we're not doing those. Oh, okay. You know, it's so corrupt and so bad. Like, I'm going to, you know, think I'm going to have a, you know, whatever. I mean, I'm just so done with this. So we're, like, just surviving them. I'm not trying to beat them. I just want to outlive them. And, you know, grandkids will take on the reins of the rebuild of the Freedom's Phoenix out of the ashes of. So that's kind of what Freedom's Phoenix is about. It's the Freedom's Phoenix from the ashes of Lady Liberty's torch. That's what that's about.
Ah. That's a very good symbol. Okay, I was a little slow in the uptake on
that. Yeah, since 1996, we had this concept in our heads. When they went video on the internet, that's when I started Freedom's Phoenix. I go, and it's over. Here we go.
That's great. That's
bunch
a good mention.
Hey, man, thanks for being there. We'll have you on soon again, buddy.
Hey, thanks so much, Ernie. I really appreciate it.
You bet. Peace.
More Declare Your Independence is coming up next, live, after the news, here on the Liberty Radio Network, LRN.FM.
from Keene in the Shire, the Liberty Media capital of the world. This is Darrell W. Perry, host of FPP Radio News for Thursday, July 28th, 2016. Silver is trading at $20.44 per ounce. Gold is valued at $1,345 per ounce. And according to BitcoinAverage.com, the average price of Bitcoin is $659. Antiwar.com reports with officials continuing to assure the world that coup plotters had infiltrated anything and everything in Turkey. The post-coup purge seems able to target any given industry at any moment. One day, the government is rounding up disloyal generals, and the next, it's firing the dean of every university in the country. On Wednesday, it was the media's turn. Officials are reporting that over 100 media outlets have been closed over ties to exiled cleric Fethullah Gulen, including 45 daily newspapers and 16 television stations. Incredibly, among the newspapers ordered closed was Zaman, which was nationalized for Gulen ties way back in March. Turkish officials seem insistent that the old Zaman's influence extended to a coup that happened 4 months after they were closed, with arrest warrants issued for 47 former employees. That they closed the new Zaman, which they already run and which had been slavishly loyal to Erdogan, is just bizarre and reflects growing paranoia about any perceived dissent. The Erdogan government has long been ruthless in cracking down on critical media, at any rate arresting reporters as terrorists for unflattering stories, particularly those critical of the government offensives against the ethnic Kurdish minority. That crackdown never really stopped, but the coup has justified an even further acceleration. For nearly 40 years, Roberts & Roberts Brokerage has been a trusted source for buying and selling precious metals like gold and silver. They also take Bitcoin for precious metal purchases and have permanently removed the minimum purchase amount for all orders paid in the digital currency. Call Roberts & Roberts today for knowledgeable advice on buying and selling precious metals and a forward-thinking approach to new technologies. 800-874-9760 or visit online at rrbi.co. UPI reports prosecutors in Baltimore on Wednesday dropped all charges related to the arrest and death of Freddie Gray for three police officers. The move by Baltimore State's attorney Marilyn Mosby will conclude the high-profile case, meaning there will be no convictions or criminal accountability related to Gray's death. Charges, including involuntary manslaughter, were dropped against Officer Garrett Miller, Sergeant Alicia White, and Officer William Porter. Gray sustained a fatal spinal injury on April 12, 2015, while being driven in a police van after he was arrested. His death sparked weeks of protest, riots, and looting in Baltimore and ignited the Black Lives Matter movement nationwide. Prosecutors previously said officers did not do enough to get Gray medical attention after he was injured while handcuffed but not buckled into a seat in the back of the van. Porter's trial ended in a mistrial in December. Officer Edward Nero and Caesar Goodson Jr. were acquitted in separate trials in May and June. Baltimore Police Officer Lieutenant Brian Rice, the highest ranking officer to respond to the incident that led to Gray's death, was found not guilty of involuntary manslaughter, misconduct in office, and reckless endangerment on July 18th. Mosby told the Baltimore Sun on Wednesday, "I wanted to be able to expose the systemic issues, and I think that's one of the reasons why we said we would probably drop the remaining cases, so we can try to work towards a solution," adding, "At the end of the day, this was just a process. The officers received due process, the verdict was rendered, and at the end of the day, I believe justice was served." When her plush and comfy life suddenly and unexpectedly fell apart, Brooke and her dog Cloud set out to defy the odds. If this is a man's world, as they say, living on the streets is no place for a young woman. One day she awoke in the Redwood Forest and realized she had become a hobo and would ultimately come to know exactly what it means to survive. How to Be a Hobo by Brooke Willett is available from Amazon.com and all major bookstores. Reuters reports a Wisconsin appeals court ruled on Wednesday that two teenagers should be tried as adults on charges that they attempted to kill a classmate by stabbing her repeatedly to please a fictional internet character named Slenderman. The girls, Anissa Wire and Morgan Geyser, have been in custody since they were charged with attempted first-degree homicide in the May 2014 attack in Waukesha, Wisconsin, a suburb of Milwaukee. All three girls were 12 years old at the time of the stabbing. In a pair of rulings, the Second District Court of Appeals determined that the Waukesha County Circuit Court probably exercised its discretion given the facts presented and made a decision a reasonable judge could make. The girls can appeal to the Wisconsin Supreme Court. This has been FPP Radio News, online at fppradio.com.